If you, oh, my, there we go. Thank you. If you are a grandparent, a mom or a dad, an aunt or an uncle, a cousin, a child, will you raise your hand? I think I've covered everything. Yeah, I have covered everything. This morning, I believe that this message is for every single one of us here. That every single one of us plays a key role in the children that we're around. Whether it be a child who is 2, or a spiritual kid who's going to be 43 in a few weeks. I believe that every single one of us here impacts children at every level. I'm going to ask everyone a question. Why raise our children in a kingdom-minded, shame-free gospel environment? Does it really matter? Does it make a difference? I'm really glad you guys think so, because that's my whole message. So why? Why raise our children for them to believe in the Father, for them to have a connection in a relationship with the Father? Every one of us in here, regardless of social status, male or female, where you live, where you come from, your past, no matter what, every single one of you in here shares something in common. Every single one. Everyone in here has a desire to belong, to connect, and to have a sense of identity. Every single one. Scientifically proven, they have done cases where people, that is their number one thing. They have proven that as human beings, we crave that more than needing food and shelter. There are, neurologically speaking, mirror neurons that are triggered and that go off within our brains when we are connecting with each other. How much more so when we connect to the Father? So, this sense of belonging, what does this have to do with children? I have 2 dogs. And they're pretty big. One dog that I have, he's 130 pounds. And then the other one, she's real small. She only weighs 95 pounds. And they're oversized lap dogs. They lay around all day long. They bark at every delivery person, but most of the time they lay down and bark because that's just too much energy to get up, I guess. And at night, they kind of rise to the occasion and bark at the stars and their tail and pretty much nothing. But I'll tell you what gets my dogs excited, okay? They love to go for a walk. And the moment that I say, who wants to go for a walk, they are there. So I leash them up and I get them going. I am not taking them on a walk. That's just a lie that I tell myself. They are taking me for a walk. They drag me around. So imagine, you know, little old me, and I'm being pulled by 230 pounds. One dog, Maximus, and he's a good dog, and he just likes to stay right next to me. Mia, on the other hand, she goes to and fro. She's over there, and she's over yonder, and she's just everywhere. She goes into people's yards, and I'm pulling on her, like, come on, come on, pretending that I'm the alpha in this relationship. But I'm like, come on, and she just has a mind of her own. She wants to do her own thing, and she just wants to poop in everybody's yards. And so by the time that I get back from the walk that I took them on, I'm like drenched in sweat. It doesn't matter if it's like negative 20 degrees outside. I am sweaty and I am roasting. The dogs are excited. I'm exhausted. My shoulders pulled out of joint and I swear up and down I'm just never ever going to take them on a walk again. What in the world does that story have to do with children and belonging? Guys, this is what I firmly believe, and I believe this with all of my heart. If we do not instill into our children the importance of the kingdom-minded, shame-free gospel, that they matter, that God says that who they are is good. Children are good. I haven't ever one time looked at a child and gone, you're bad. Ever. You are good. If we do not raise our children up, this is what I believe. I believe that when they grow up, they'll be just like my dog, Mia. And they will pull and tug and pull and tug until eventually she's strong and she lets go. She's going to go looking for her belonging. Children will go looking for their identity apart from the father. That's how important our words matter to the children that are around us. I also believe, you know, the why of raising our children up in this shame-free, kingdom-minded environment and atmosphere. I don't think about the now. I do, but I don't. I think about the future. I have this, like, really fun imagination where I'm thinking, you know, it's a couple of hundred years from now, and I'm just hanging out in the sweet by and by. I'm sure that I'm quilting, doing some kickboxing, and eating some cheesecake. Oh, I'm going to have cheesecake at least 3 times a day. And I'm just going to be smiling from the heavenlies, and I'm going to be looking down, and I'm going to go, you know what? There is my great, 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 great grandchildren. And do you know what they believe? They believe in the gospel. They believe in the truth. They believe that their lives matter. And do you know what? Because of what I believe that I have shaken up the foundations, that I have poured into my children enough to pour that into their children, their children's 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 children, that this isn't just for the here and now, you guys. This is for forever. This extends past our understanding. That's what I believe. So there's the whys this morning. Why? Why is it so important? Scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I grew up in a Christian household. My mom's actually here this morning. I grew up in a Christian household. And I remember, even as a little girl, the things that my parents poured into me. It matters. I didn't depart from that. I clung on to it. You know, I'm kind of like peanut butter and jelly with Jesus. You know, I love peanut butter and jelly. We should all be like peanut butter and jelly. Because let me tell you, once you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you smack it together, you can't separate that jelly and that peanut butter. It's just stuck together. There you go. You're stuck together with Jesus like peanut butter and jelly. I don't think you can find that in Scripture, but it's good. And so the why. So we've covered the why, the how. So how do we go about raising children in God's kingdom? And hey, babe, Daniel, I did do it. Can you pull that slide up for me, please? I told him this morning, I said, I'm going to try really, really hard the whole entire time. Hey, Daniel, but he's my love. We'll be married 18 years in September. And let me tell you, it just keeps getting better, you guys. It just keeps getting better. I love that man. So how do we go about doing this? We're present. We're present in children's lives. If you're a parent still raising little ones, we're present at home. If you've raised your children and they're out of the house, you're present. You're present with your kids. Do you know when I stop being a parent? When I go see Jesus. That's when I stop being a parent. But up until that day comes, I am always going to be a parent. We are present. So I don't have this slide down here, so I'll just turn some back and forth. This is crazy, okay? Crazy sad. 75% of kids left the church from ages 18 to 29. 75%. Those are children that were raised in church and they left. Why? Why did 25% stay? So I'm just going to go through these, number one, two, three, four, five. Number one, ate dinner 5 to 7 nights a week as a family. Okay, I don't want us to get hung up on that, okay? I don't want it to sound legalistic and, oh my gosh, every single night I have to sit down and I have to eat dinner as a family. That thought just overwhelms me. Here's what this is talking about. This is talking about relationship. This is talking about connection. It's talking about all of those little moments at home where I get to interact with my children, where I get to talk to them and to see what's going on. I want to see the window to their heart. I want in that. That is so important to me. I have heard more about Minecraft, and to this day, I don't understand Minecraft. I'm just keeping it real. Like, I mean, I know just about as much about Minecraft as 5 years ago when my son started playing it. When my daughter was smaller, she would tell me all about her American Girl dolls, and she had an imaginary friend named Rain that would jump from tree to tree. And I would sit there for 2 hours with my daughter, and I would hear all about Rain who jumped from tree to tree. Does that matter? Yes, because if your children learn that they can't come to you with the little things, they won't be able to come to you with the big things. Every single little thing matters, because little things, more times than not, add up to big things. It is vitally important. My husband, he works, he's over a computer tech company. He has, I don't know, 70, 80, 90 guys and girls that work for him. And one day he came home, and the women that work there, I just love them because they're fire pistols. And one day he came home laughing. He said, well, he said, today Anissa came up to me and said, you know, Daniel, it is just tough being pretty. And my daughter goes, you know what? Dad, it is just so hard being pretty. You have no idea. I mean, I am so pretty. And sometimes it is just tough. And so, like, for the next 30 minutes, we're listening to Camila talk about she's just so beautiful and she's so pretty. And, Dad, you don't understand because you're not a girl. But it is just tough being pretty. My daughter's 14, you guys. She still believes that it is tough being pretty. She still believes that she's beautiful and that she's gorgeous and that she's pretty. And do you know what she does with that? She has her friends that are around her. And her friends around her don't think that they're pretty. They're teenage girls. And they're putting themselves down. They're fat. They're ugly. They don't look like the girls in the magazine. And do you know what my daughter tells them all the time? You are beautiful. It is tough being pretty. What a badge of honor to wear. This is good stuff. You know, that we put into Camille, and Camille is turning around and making a difference in the lives around her. And the teenage girls, it is rare to come across teenage girls this day and age. You know what? I'll go even further. It's rare this day and age for women to think that they're pretty and that they're beautiful and that they're smart and that they matter. Doggone it. I'm going to raise my daughter and all of my adopted daughters that they are pretty and that they are beautiful, because it makes a difference. My son, we were talking a while back about the difference between guys and girls. And I said, well, Jacob, you know, like, tell me one of the differences between guys and girls. He said, oh, Mom, that's easy. Guys have guns and girls don't. All right. And he said, and I am just so strong. Okay, son, do you have any more questions about the difference between guys and girls? Nope. And off he went. That was good for now. He was only 9. But my son, who's now 11, you still ask him, he's going to tell you. He has guns. And girls don't. He believes that he's strong. I tell him every single day, Jacob, you're a smart man. You're a good boy. I love the way that your mind works. I love who you are. And he believes it. And do you know what he does? He tells all his friends. You ask Jacob how he's doing? smart, because he believes that. It has been instilled within him. Number two, served with their families in a ministry. Again, we don't want to get all, you know, legalistic on, you know, on that right there, that, oh my gosh, oh, I'm not in a ministry. I'm not in a ministry at all, and I'm just failing my children. So far from the truth. Let me just remove that out of everybody's minds right now. So far from the truth. Do you know what ministry is? Wherever you go. That's right, Stephanie. Ministry is wherever you go. You like to hunt? My husband loves to hunt. Well, now, Jennifer, that's not a ministry. Oh, yes, it is. My husband and my father-in-law, they spend a lot of time in the woods. Do you know what they do while they're in the woods? They hear from Jesus. Jesus shows them ways that they can reach out to other people. And when they kill that meat, oh, that is a ministry. We share. When I bake, when I cook, when our amazing prophetic team sets this up every Sunday morning, when you come in and you just offer a smile to somebody. I've had a rough week, and their smile changes everything. I remember a little while back, it's been a couple of years, but I was going through a sad season. I was just sad. And I remember my tatia. Tatia means aunt in Portuguese. But my tatia, she came, and all that she did was sit next to me. That's it. She didn't say anything. She didn't do anything. She just sat with me in my sadness. That was a ministry. I had to have that day. It changed me because someone was there. And do you know what? When I'm serving, in all the little tiny things that I do, my kids are watching. They turn around and they do the same thing. Children are watching. They watch everything. They repeat everything as well. But children are watching. It matters. They are learning to serve. They are learning to be in ministry. Because I believe that for the rest of my life, I get to serve and minister. Even in, like I said, the littlest, tiniest things. It matters, you guys. It matters what you do in your companies. It matters. When you go to work and you tell that employee who's had a really hard weekend, who is debating, hey, you know what? I think I'm done here. And you go in and you say, hey, how was your weekend? I was thinking about you. You want to go out sometime? You want to go get dinner? You ministered, you might have just saved that person's life. Children see that. They're going to turn around and they're going to do that with the people around them. Number three, entrusted with responsibility and ministry at an early age. And that pretty much, you know, goes with number two. They're mirroring, okay, what they see. They're doing what we do. And, you know, again, that entrusted with responsibility in a ministry at an early age, the little two-year-old who's being taught how to share, which is like a big, big, big thing at 2 and 3 years old, and they're not whacking their friends in the head with, you know, the biggest block that they can find, but you're teaching them kindness, that's going to matter in the future. You want them to learn to be kind. Number four. Had one spiritual experience in the home during the week. Okay. Spiritual experience. So I'm going to share a story, but you guys just stick with me. Because this may be a little weird at first. So a couple of weeks ago, my son comes to me. It's 10 o'clock at night, and of course, like, I'm already asleep. I mean, I'm a firm believer of getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep. And we go to bed early. So, you know, my son comes in, it's around 10 o'clock, and mamas, I don't know why, but when our babies are sick, who do they always want? They always want their mama, yes. And so he comes in, and mom, I'm like, yeah, he said, I'm so sorry. I got sick. Okay. all right, you know, give me a moment. Oh, you just don't understand, Mom. I'm real sorry I got sick. Buddy, it's all right. And so, you know, I go and I follow him, you know, down the hallway. And he's going down the hallway. He says, "You don't understand. I am so sorry." And I open up the door, and it is sickness of epic proportions. It has made it everywhere. And I'm just like, "Oh, I didn't make it to the toilet." It's okay. And so I spend the next couple of hours. He wants to help me. He takes his Nerf guns that have gotten sick on it to the sink in the bathroom to try and help me. Bad idea. And so I'm just like, no, let Mom do this. Okay. And so I clean everything up. And the next day, I mean, I'm good, right? I mean, it happened. I'm like, it happened last night. And he comes up to me crying. There's little tears in his eyes. And he goes, "Mama, I am so sorry that I got sick last night. I am a bad boy." And I looked at him and I said, "You don't get to feel that anymore. You are not bad. It's okay that you got sick. And I'm telling you, I am your mama. And I am not going to allow you to feel bad." And we talked for a while about where that feeling came from. And then when Jesus came and met Jacob where he was at, Jacob was like, "I'm not bad. I just got sick. Bye, Mom." All right. And that was that. That is a spiritual experience. That is a spiritual experience that we should be sharing all the time. Spiritual experiences I get at home to give my child feedback, both of my children feedback. My husband and I, we give each other feedback all the time. If we see where, you know, if I put myself down, do you know the first person who's going to come out and say, "You need to go to Jesus about all that" is my husband. Because he loves me so much, he doesn't let me live there. He gives me feedback. He's not going to watch me put myself down so much that I start to believe it, that the lie starts to become a truth, and then I slowly die in that. He's the very first person, firm believer of feedback. But another kind of funny story. So I quilt. I love to sew. We do schoolwork in the mornings because we homeschool. But in the afternoons, we kind of, you know, Camille and Jacob and I, we go do what we, you know, want to do. And so I'm sitting in my quilting room one day, and I'm just sewing. It is so quiet and peaceful. And all of a sudden, I hear, like, "Oh my gosh, what just happened?" And I run into the kitchen, and Jacob is standing on top of our kitchen island. And the pendant, our glass pendant, is just swinging to and fro. And he's just standing there, like a calf at a new gate. And I'm like, "Son, what happened?" "I don't know." And just a heads up, when you ask children, "What are you thinking?" when they say, "I don't know," they're not lying, because their frontal lobe isn't fully developed until they're 25. So a lot of times they don't even know what they were thinking before they did it. I have learned that over time. I almost said, "Son, what were you thinking?" And I'm, wrong question. And I said, okay, "Did you hit the pendant?" "Nope." "Can you tell me what happened?" He said, "Mom, I don't know what happened. I was playing Ninja Warrior, and the quickest way to get from one side of the kitchen to the other was to crawl up onto the island, and that pendant just hit me." Okay. And so I got to give him feedback that maybe from now on we don't play Ninja Warrior around glass. Okay, Mom. He got feedback. Why is it important when children are young that they get feedback in their lives? Because when they grow up, when they're adults, guess what we get? feedback. When you go to work and you have the good old, you know, yearly sit down with your boss and how great are you? And if you learn growing up that feedback is good and that feedback isn't bad, and if we're doing this, teaching our children growing up with Jesus, shame-free, kingdom-minded gospel, when they grow up, they don't feel like they're going to tinkle all over themselves before they go see their boss, and they're not all nervous, and their stomach's not in knots, and they spend all day long having anxiety and pain. I'm speaking about myself from the past. And, you know, and it's not the worst day ever because they're going to go sit down and have a talk with their boss. Or, you know, their husband. If feedback is good. It's okay when Daniel tells me what's up. It is good. And then number five, the last one. Children, so why do I believe that children stay in church when they grow up, that 25%, had at least one faith-focused adult in their lives other than their parents? Guys, it takes a village. It takes a village. I cannot raise my children all by myself. It takes a village. My daughter, I think that she's on, I don't know, she has like 10, 15 moms right now. Rock on. These are spiritual moms who are pouring into her life, and it makes a difference. Because sometimes they see things that I don't see. And they get to encourage my daughter. And they get to lift her up. Today is Father's Day. I believe with all of my heart that now more than ever, that fathers are important, that fathers are valuable. I know that I am who I am today because of the spiritual fathers and the spiritual mothers who have poured into my life. And I don't want to diminish mothers this morning, okay? We are vitally important, but it's Father's Day, so I do want to recognize fathers. Fathers are vitally important. And here's something really interesting. Fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of high school. They are twice as likely to end up in jail. They are four times more likely to need help for emotional or behavioral problems. I understand this morning that there's lots of different situations and circumstances in which there may not have been a dad in the home. This is what I believe. We serve a good father. We serve the Father. And this is what I believe. When we are teaching our children to connect with Jesus, we're teaching our children to connect with God, we're teaching our children to connect with the Father. That this morning, I mean, I'm looking across this room, you guys, and I'm seeing tons of different men. I watch you make a difference in the children around here. Pastor Allen, a couple of weeks ago, out at we did the bouncy thing for the kids. It was a really fun night. And Pastor Allen was out there. And do you know what he was doing? He was chasing children around. He was having fun. He was engaged with them. And I kept looking at Pastor Allen, and I'm like, they're... is a beautiful example right there, because the little boy that he was playing with, I was standing right over there, and I watched Pastor Allen come in, and the little boy who he had spent all this time with came running up to him and gave him the biggest hug. Now, that little connection right there, do you know what's going to happen with that little boy over the years around Pastor Allen? I know what's going to happen. I know that firsthand. Pastor Allen will say, "You are a good boy. You're a smart boy. You matter. What comes out of your mouth will change this world." Because he does it all the time. And that little boy is going to grow up, and do you know what I believe? That little boy is going to grow up, and he's going to tell the people around him. That's how we change this community, guys, pouring into our children. In closing this morning, I have asked the worship team, the worship team can come up here, please, and start getting all situated and prepared. I've asked the worship team to come up this morning and to close this out with the blessing song. the blessing song that they're going to do is based off of Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 25. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. If everybody can stand, please. It's okay, Pops, you can sit. But if everybody who can stand, please. Thank you so much. We're going to have prayer teams that are going to come up front. And they're going to pray. If you want prayer, they're going to pray for you guys this morning. And as the ministry team starts playing this song and starts leading us into worship, this is what I believe. When I was preparing this message these past few weeks, it's like I heard some parents out there, and you were very sad. Like you feel like you've messed up, or you feel like it's too late, or you're raising your children and you don't feel like you're the right person to be doing this with your kids. I heard all of this sad. And if you're one of those people here this morning, I would love to pray for you. I believe that it is never, ever, 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 ever too late, ever, to pour into your children. I love my home and what I have with my love and my children. I love going over to my mom's and dad's house because they speak life. And I love going over to my dad and mom-in-law's house because they speak life. I love it. And I'll be 90 years old. Pastor Allen's still going to be around, and he is still going to be pouring into my life and telling me how much it matters. You guys, it is never too late. Every last one of you in here matters. Every last one of you makes a difference. Every last one of you makes a difference in children. You make a difference in teenagers, and you make a difference in the people around you. So God, I thank you, God. I thank you for the people that are in here. I thank you for the difference that they make, God. I pray blessings over their lives. And God, this morning, as the worship team is leading us, I want to open up the front as well. There's going to be prayer going on, and there's going to be worshiping going on. Because I believe this morning, there's like defining moments in my life where I can go back and be like, oh yeah, that was a strong Jesus moment. I believe this morning that there can be some really like rad Jesus moments going on this morning. Pastor Allen?